What I want to talk about this morning is when God promises to heal quickly. And I'm not just talking about physical healing, emotional healing, psychological healing, healing your finances, healing your relationships in your life. The kind of healing where God intervenes and He comes and He works and He makes difficult situations an empowerment to you. Where His grace does that wonderful work of working all things together for good. That kind of healing. God promises to do it quickly at times. There's something involved. On our part, we have to remove some of the obstacles to that. There's a passage we're going to be looking at. But before we turn to that passage, it's actually from Isaiah. Let me mention this first to you, that God's promises can only be experienced in Christ, not outside of Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul wrote, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." First. That's where every promise God has made. That means all the promises of the Old Testament, any promise God has made is only yes for those who are in Christ. Only those abiding in Christ, living for Christ, can experience these promises through Christ. And so, church membership, you can attend church and not necessarily be in Christ. You can have religion and not necessarily be in Christ. In Christ means that's where you're drawing your life from. That's where you're abided in. That's who you are living your life for and through. Those who are led by His Spirit and really abiding in Christ in that way, they will be doing His work. And they will be the ones experiencing these promises. Now let's look at the promise I want to look at this morning is in Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah 58, we're going to look at just several verses, verses 8 through 9. And this is the promise that God makes. And He's addressing the people who had been fasting yearly. They had a yearly fast. And the people were just saying and asking out loud, they were saying, you know, why do we fast and the Lord doesn't hear? Why do we, you know what you could ask? Why do we go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and nothing's ever changed? Life is no better. My family's no better. My job is no better. I have no more joy. I'm not experiencing more peace. I go, but I don't get much out of it. That's kind of the question they were asking. Why do we fast and you don't hear? And so this is what the Lord begins to address that question with a promise. We'll pick it up in verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. That's why the basis of the message. It's possible that a healing can come quickly. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry, and He will say, here I am. In other words, in your prayer life, you will pray, and God answers. Amen. You'll know it. You'll see it. It'll be there. A lot of people pray, not even expecting God to answer. Well, there's reason we'll talk about in, as we go through the message. But I want you to notice in the passage we just read, the first word was then, right? Then your healing shall spring forth speedily. Well, if there's a then, there must be a when, right? Then what? Or then when what? Well, let's look at that first. Let's make sure, as we've already mentioned, the first, that if you're in Christ is one condition. The second is when we meet the other conditions that God has put forth. So we started in verse 8. So the then part of it, the part we need to look at is in verses 6 and 7. So we're going to back up and look at the conditions that the Lord sets forth for our healing to speedily appear in verses 6 and 7. So look with me in verse 6. And we'll spend a little bit of time explaining these. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Remember the question they've been asking. Why do we fast and you don't hear? And the Lord's answer to them is because I've chosen a type of fast you're not even doing. So this is the type of fast that I have chosen, says the Lord. To loose the bonds of wickedness. I'm grateful that God has enabled me to be able to read both the New Testament and the Old Testament in the original language. Because the word for wickedness is the Greek word adikia, unrighteousness. And it's such a strong word because Paul uses it to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 19. He tells Timothy, the solid foundation of the Lord stands firm and it's sealed with an inscription. The Lord knows those who are His. He knows. And you know where that was said? You know, that's a quote that Moses said to the followers of Korah. You remember who Korah was? The people who resisted Moses in the Old Testament and said, Moses, you're setting yourself up above the people. All the people are holy. And there was a threesome, Korah, Nathan, and Abihu, Dathan and Abihu. They all opposed Moses and they wanted to challenge Moses. And so Moses said, well, we'll see. The Lord knows who are His. And you remember how the story goes. It didn't go well for those who challenged Moses at the time. But Paul goes on, the Lord knows who are His, and that everyone who names the name of the Lord must depart from unrighteousness, this same word. So if there's any unrighteousness in your life, your healing will not speedily appear. You depart from unrighteousness. If you want your healing to speedily appear, you depart from unrighteousness. David put this, I love it, in Psalms. You know that Psalm that said, David said, if I regard sin in my heart, remember how does that verse finish? If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The actual word in the Septuagint is, I regard unrighteousness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Unless you depart from unrighteousness, like it says here, you loose the bonds of unrighteousness. That's one condition that must be met for our healing to speedily appear. And then you undo heavy burdens. And you know, most of us, what would that mean? Well, back then, people, like today, could place burdens on others. And you know, we can do that without realizing it. You know the heaviest burdens that are placed upon others today? The burden of prejudice. And I've seen it in this church, prejudice. When people are prejudiced about a race, or people are prejudiced towards an economic condition, when people have an attitude about being better or superior than the poor, or people who don't realize that some of the poor born into the homes they were born in didn't have a choice who their mother and father was, and they never had the kind of home you had or I had. And those people, you can form an attitude about people like that and not even realize it, and you are an oppression to them and not even realizing it. Sometimes we can oppress people like that, even trying to be good. Here, let us give you this. Aren't we being so good to you down there? This is an oppression that will prevent our healing. When we see ourselves better than others, when we have attitudes and opinions about what other people ought to do. You are in the United States, therefore you ought to speak English. That's an oppression. That's a mental oppression. You can encourage someone to speak English, because that's fine. But to have an attitude that someone else ought to do something just because you think they should is an oppression. It's a burden placed upon others that will prevent your own healing from quickly appearing. You know, we can encourage people to do what they are not able to do yet without it being oppressive, without it being a judgmental, without it being condescending to them. And then it says, and to let the oppressed go free. We're still on that verse 6. To let the oppressed go free. The oppressed actually meaning the devastated. You know, there have been those who are devastated. Some of them come to the Bread of Life. You know what they were devastated by? They were raised in a dysfunctional home. And about as soon as they could, and as soon as the first person or two that showed them any kind of compassion, they got married, and it lasted such a short time, and they were gone, an unfaithful partner, and they're left alone, and the partner gives them no support, and they turn to their family, or they turn to try to find comfort, and there's disappointment after disappointment, and what happens is bad events pile up like dominoes, and you hit one, and they just start going and going and going, and you end up with a life shattered, devastated, poor, and you live in a home where you can't even fix the things that break. You don't replace windows. If your hot water heater breaks, you just don't have hot water. It's just, there are people who live like that, who've been devastated. And when we went, one of the ways that we, God's healing will quickly appear is when we seek to alleviate that. When we seek to help in those people who've been devastated in that way. The particular verse here is a reference to what happened in the times of Israel. According to the law of Moses, when a person became financially devastated, they could sell themselves into slavery. They could indenture themselves to a fellow Israelite. And for a certain number of years, they could say, "I'll just be your servant. If you feed me, you can give me a house, I'll work for you for nothing." So they could live and eat, but they would live and eat as a slave. The Lord's, and sometimes they were disobedient to the law, they would keep these people in that subservient condition rather than send them away adequately provided so they could start anew. That was supposed to happen every 7 years. But the people didn't do that. And when they failed to do that, they were closing the door on their own healing and didn't even realize it. And then we break, and then the last thing of verse 6 is, "And that you break every yoke." I like the way the Septuagint says it a little better. That you tear up every unjust document. You know what? There's a document I'd like you in your mind. Just in your mind, in your imagination. Can we tear up one together? A document? Any document you have inside that has a record of wrong that someone else has done to you, tear it up. Love keeps no record. I don't want to hear what that church did to you, tear it up. I don't want to hear what those people said about you, tear it up. I don't want to hear what your neighbor did to you. Tear it up. If you maintain those kind of documents where you keep a record of what others have done to you, your healing will not quickly appear. Because what did Jesus say? Forgive and you will be forgiven. Right? If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither shall your Father in heaven forgive yours. We need to tear up unjust passages. And verse 7. "And is it not to share your bread with the hungry?" That's why we have a food ministry. "And that you bring to your house the poor who are" what? Homeless. Wow. Wait a minute. Bring the homeless to your house? This is why I said from the very beginning, not everyone will be willing to hear this. That's a challenge. The homeless have burned their bridges. They've had to do a lot to become homeless, right? You have no idea what they've done out there. It is so easily to despise homeless people. But we do so to our own peril. Because the word in the actual original language literally means they have no permanent place to stay. That's the definition of a homeless person right there. You bring the homeless to your home. You know, I'm married. I have a wife. That involves her. I have kids. I have a handicapped daughter. That involves her. I mean, that's a challenge. That's why that's not something easy to do. Hey, but if you're looking for healing, if you're looking for blessing, and you're looking for fullness of life, this is the Lord's prescription. It's not mine. It's just not the idea of some pastor. This is the Lord's prescription on how to have our own healing quickly appear. And when you see the naked, that you cover him. Now, we don't often see someone standing on the street naked, do we? I mean, they're kind of probably out of their mind if they are, or on something. But there is a story in the Bible that all a person did was, instead of covering over his father's nakedness, he went out and he told his brothers. Do you remember that story? You know, who was it? Noah, it says, was a keeper of a vineyard. And it's funny, you know, for those who teach that there was no alcohol in the Bible, Noah got drunk on grape juice. That's amazing. But anyway, he drank too much grape juice. He fell asleep, and his younger brother, his youngest son, Ham, went in and saw his dad. He got hot, evidently, and no fans, no electricity. Took his clothes off, and he went out and he told his brothers, Shem and Japheth. And you remember what they did? They put a cloak on their back and they backed in and they covered their father's nakedness. You know what that is for us? That's keeping your mouth closed about something that would uncover someone else in a bad light. Don't repeat things that you wouldn't want repeated about yourself, even if they are true. Love covers a multitude of sin. He who repeats the matter separates close friends. And you know why some of our own healing stands off? Why some of our own fullness and joy and peace is not what it could be? It's because we're not covering nakedness. We're exposing it. That's only going to prevent our own healing from speedily appearing. And then it says, the last thing it says, and do not hold yourself above your own flesh. Wow. Do not hold yourself above. You know what you do when you hold yourself above someone else? You become condescending. You just see them where they are, those poor little people. Or that ignorant guy, or that ignorant woman, or that dumb broad, or that fool over there. That's holding yourself above another God-created being. And that's not a way to have spiritual life and vitality restored to you. Remember what it says about Jesus? Who, though being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the point of death. And for that reason, God highly exalted him. If we make something of ourselves, and you know what? How it's easy to do that? The Bible says this is all you have to do to have that is have a little bit more knowledge than someone else. Because you know what the Bible says knowledge does? Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies, builds up. So we need to, in other words, there's a simple description. When you see needs, you need to be moved to meet needs, is what God is saying, for our healing to quickly appear. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, John wrote this, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Closing our hearts to others' needs will close the door on God's promises to us. You know how we do that sometimes? We say, it's not my problem. Or we say, someone will take care of it. You know, someone does more work in the church than any other person. We all need to write someone a thank you card. Because somebody is the most faithful person that ever shows up. And aren't you glad that when you're there at home, aren't you glad that you in your heart you know that someone is out there doing His work? Aren't you glad? It'll get done because someone's going to get... Man, someone is going to have a great reward in heaven someday. It's easy for us at times to let these things slip right past us. You know, because after all, maybe you're in that situation where there's just not much you could do. That's true, right? Right? There are people, we do have limitations. You know, that's so wonderful. That's why Jesus said, He who is faithful with little. The question is not how much you are doing. The question is, are you being faithful even with the little you're able to do? That's the question. You won't be judged for not doing what you're not able. You will be judged for not doing what little you could have done. Think about that. The Lord knows. And His judgments are... And He was telling His people, in order, if you want your own healing to speedily appear, you be about meeting the needs of others. So, back to something Jesus said. You remember it? With the given, it shall be given to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, I think I'm 57 now. I just have this in my mind. As long as I keep giving this body to be a blessing to others, I'll leave it to God to keep me going. I won't stop at every ache and pain. I'll say, give me strength, because I intend to use what strength I have to be a blessing for others. And I believe with that heart attitude, God is going to keep me going. Why should He give to me if I'm just wanting it for me? You know, God does not give only for our benefit, but to enable us to be a benefit to others. That's what Jesus was saying. Look, you start giving and God will give to you. Because He wants you giving and He wants people to be blessed. And when you start being a blessing to others, He'll make sure you have everything you need to keep doing that. Back to the wind again. There's one more wind section in Isaiah. These are verses 9 through 11. So a few of the more conditions. He said, if you take away the yoke of obligation from your midst, and the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Ooh. The pointing of the finger. When I use the phrase, the pointing of the finger, what word? There, one word should come to your mind. I'm thinking of one anyway. Anybody want to venture a guess? What are we doing to someone else when we're pointing the finger? Blame. And of course, when you're looking to blame someone, you're seeing a fault. It's your fault. It's his fault. It's the church's fault. It's the doctor's fault. It's the president's fault. It's the Congress's fault. You know what this nation is? This nation has become obsessed with blaming. Republicans blame the Democrats. The Democrats blame the Republicans. The East blames the West. The West blames the East. You get this, the original word, you know, you get the word grumbling. and murmuring and complaining about this. And you know, remember what the scripture says? There's a verse about complaining and grumbling, right? We like to teach it to the children because that's the way they learn Bible. There's a song. Do everything without complaining. Do everything without arguing. Do you remember what the rest of it says? That ye may become blameless and pure children of God. You know what happens? When we grumble about what someone else is doing or not doing. When we're grumbling and murmuring and complaining about what someone else has done to us or not done for us, you can guarantee your own healing is not going to be appearing anytime soon. Because if God grumbled about us, we would all be in trouble. Right? We are to be like He is towards others. All right. Let's just read this verses 9 through 11. If you take away the yoke of obligation from your midst, the pointing of the finger, then speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, this is what's going to happen. Then your light shall shine in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul even in drought. You know, people have always, sometimes they've asked me, how can you just, no matter what situation you're in, you always enjoy it? That's right. Because Christ in me is a fountain of living water, and I don't need the circumstances around me to be anything, because I'm looking for what I can do and what I can be and how I can be a blessing to others, and spiritual life wells up in me to enable me to do it. I don't need the pastor to be anything. I don't need the church to be anything. Jesus Christ in me keeps me refreshed. It's just a wonderful life. That's what He says. I'll satisfy your soul even in drought, and I'll strengthen your bones, and you will be like a well-watered garden. You know what the difference between a lot of our spiritual life and a person is giving living spiritual water? How many of you know that when you water things with city water, it doesn't quite do as good as when it rains? How many would know that? Okay, well, I'm the city water. I'm the city water to you. You're getting city water. It's coming through this pipe, and it might get a little pollution in it. But when you're getting living water flowing from the Holy Spirit Himself, and you're being filled with God's Spirit on your own, it will produce a quality and abundance of fruit in you that's amazing. Your life and your countenance, you will just be a person that others... Because that's what a garden does. A garden makes things that feeds others, that blesses others. And those who walk in the way that God desires, that He wants, being a blessing to others, they are like a well-watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Those who live to bless others experience the richest blessing. Those who live to bless others experience the biggest blessing. Do you remember God's covenant with Abraham? God's covenant with Abraham is, I will bless you. Do you remember the other half? Can you quote the other half? If you miss it, you miss the whole covenant. What's the rest of it? I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And that comes right after that. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. All nations shall be blessed through you. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be blessed. But you see what God's heart? Why did He choose Abraham? Why did He tell Abraham that I'll make you the father of many nations? Why did He tell Abraham, I'm going to bless you? It's because He wanted to make Abraham a blessing to others. And when you're really in the covenant of faith, when you're living to be a blessing to someone else. That's why I love that scripture. He who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed. You know, the hose is the first thing that gets wet. Right? That's what the water's got to go to the hose. And if I'm seeking to be a blessing to others, God's Spirit is going to be moving in me. And I'm going to experience the life of the Spirit. Not because I'm trying to catch it. You know the difference between a stale lagoon and a freshwater lake? What's the difference? Flowing water. What happens when water just gets trapped in one location and there's no inlet and outlet? What happens? It becomes a breeding ground for mosquitoes. When we have water living in us, flowing through us, because we're seeking to be a blessing to others, it's drinkable. It's inviting. I love the Frio River. It's clear. It's cold. It's a spring. There's a few rivers. It's different than the old tank where the mud catfish love because you can't see them. The water's brown. We don't want to live that way. You don't want to live just to be some place where all the water runs to and collects. That's not appealing. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his own hands what is good. And look what he says, why? So that he may have something to give to those in need. He's not even saying so you can provide for yourself. That's one thing. Look, if you don't provide for yourself, you're hardly going to be able to help others in need. But the reason we work, the reason we seek, the reason we have a home, the reason we have a car, the reason we have a job, the reason we have finances, the reason we have things, is so that they can be used to bless others. That's the Christian life. So I have pay it forward. You know, you hear that phrase, don't you? What is pay it forward? You know, you've been given grace, and what does God want us to do with His grace? He wants us to pay it forward, right? But what if we pay it backward? You know what live backwards is? L-I-V-E. L-I-V-E backwards is E-V-I-L. You know, we live in a difficult age, parents. Because even as Christian parents have fallen into the trap of wanting to make sure their children have very wholesome things to do, but it's still all about them. Wholesome bowling, wholesome soccer, wholesome softball, wholesome football, wholesome trips to the coast, wholesome trips to Sixth Fiesta, Texas, but it's still me, 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 and you raise a monster. You just raise a monster. It's just all selfishness. It's all about satisfying yourself. It's all about doing you. And they, of course, they try to choose good things, but where are they? Where are the people raised in church who were raised that way? Where are they? They're out there still trying to satisfy their own lust, is where they are. Because they missed the joy and the secret that it is more blessed to give than to receive. When my kids were growing up, they hardly were ever at home once they reached teenagers because somebody needed their help doing something. And Dad said, you're going. That's where you're going. And they spent their extra time and their weekends at someone's house, digging some ditch, painting some wall, hanging sheetrock, taping and bedding. It didn't matter where it was. And you know what? They are flourishing.
in their marriage, in their life.
They had found the ability that you don't have to focus on yourself to experience the joy of life. You know, we have this promise even in prayer. This kind of promise that our own healing was fully here. You know, because one of the promises was, and then you will call and I will answer. You will cry out and the Lord will say, here I am. Well, Jesus said that even about prayer. You know, the surest way to get an answer to prayer is when you're not praying about yourself. In Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because of his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Isn't that wonderful? Ask and it will be given. Do you see why he's saying to ask? The man is not even asking for himself. He's saying, I want to be hospitable. I have someone has come and I want to serve them. I want to meet their needs. That's why it doesn't matter how busy in the week I've been. It doesn't matter. Because come Sunday morning, it's Lord, your people have need. Speak to me. Give me understanding. It's not for me. And it's a sweet time. It even if my time is short, because I just stretched it a little bit too thin, when I go in the heart of Lord, give for your people's sake, it's there. Understanding is there. Help is there. And it's for you. Not even for me. I enjoy it, but it's for you. Just the opposite of that, about asking for others, is in the book of James. In James chapter 4, let me give you the opposite. I don't have the scripture up there, but I'll read it from you. It's in James chapter 4, the wrong way to pray. This is from James chapter 4, the first few verses. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive. And can anyone finish it? When you ask, you do not receive. Because when you ask that you may spend it on yourself. That's why you don't. Why should God answer a prayer when you just give me more joy? You want to be having more joy? Is it just because you want more joy? Or is it because you don't feel your strength is adequate to serve someone else? You see the difference? You just want joy? Oh, look, here's what. If you just want joy, let me point you to some mega churches out there on 1604. You can have a great time. You can go down the front and they'll lay hands on you and you can fall right over and laugh for an hour. Lots of joy. And then you can get up and do it again the next week. But when I'm asking for strength to serve others, you know what I have? Joy. See, I'm not asking it for myself. I'm not asking just to make my life better. I'm asking to be strengthened, to be a servant, to be a blessing to others. That's why I'm asking. That's why we do what we do. And God answers that. I know we need to wrap up. We're almost done. This is what the promise ends with, back to Isaiah. This is the last part of this beautiful promise to those who actually live to be a blessing to others. It says in Isaiah 58:12, then those from among you shall build the old waste places. You know, I think for years we've had to face the fact that University Park has been going, right? Down. And there's churches around in the area that are closing their doors. Well, I don't know what the future is for us, but I know this. the only hope for me being one to actually restore the old places is fully giving myself to be a blessing to others. Because that kind of person will become known as a person who restores the old ways places. Clemente, you can see restoration happen in your neighborhood. You seek to be a blessing. And you can see old relationships and spiritual lives and other people, friends or family members that you have. If you really begin to give yourself and you live in Christ to be a blessing to others, you'll see the effect of that life in you begin to restore the life in other people. You'll see it. It's a promise of God. And you'll raise up the foundations of many generations. And then you'll be called something. And you shall be called repairer of the breach. Wow. And you know what that breach is? A breach in the wall of the city at that day was vulnerability, wasn't it? They at least had some measure of protection when in the life of others. And this is for if those of you who have ears to hear. You want to have spiritual protection for your family. You want to have spiritual protection for yourself. Give yourself to be a blessing for others. And you will see gaps of vulnerability closed. As God surrounds Himself in your life and uses you to begin to bring others together, to heal wounds and to restore relationships. And there's a great protection in the unity of the body of Christ, isn't there? When people are coming together for the common purpose and the common cause. Look at how vulnerable our nation is now. It's so divided. It's so antagonistic. There's such confusion. There's such animosity. We're very vulnerable. But if we are a people who we have the testimony that we're not living for ourselves. We're not trying to get the money from the neighborhood. We're seeking to be a blessing to the neighborhood. We'll see a restoration. We'll see a rebuilding. We'll see that. People recognize that. So God's fastest healings are reserved for those seeking to repair and restore others. It makes sense, right? You think He's going to keep His best instruments going? Sure He is. God's going to take care of His own. He knows those who have the heart of a servant. He knows those who are seeking to receive His grace and receive His Spirit in order to be a blessing to others. And He will keep them supplied on every level. That's how our own healing will quickly appear. Because you know what happens? If something happens to a servant and he goes down, God loses that servant, doesn't He? So, since God has things to do, who do you think He's going to heal first? The person over here asking for a little bit more joy because he just doesn't quite feel good? Or that servant who needs to be restored so he can get back to doing exactly what he was doing already? Look, if you stop and think about it, you'll see why there are those who abound in spiritual life. And why others just don't have it. It's not that complicated. And the Lord, in His kindness, was actually telling His people, look, you want to be healed. You want to be whole. You want to experience the life I have with you. Look around you and in compassion, meet the needs of others. And your own healing will quickly appear. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray.